Consumer Watch with Wendy Nolan on East Coast Breakfast.
Hi, Wendy.
Hello, Darren.
So if you want to sell your car privately to get a better price than you would if you went through a dealer,
yeah.
The question obviously is, how safe is it?
Well, I have to say it's not very, alas. Mm. In fact, one of the case studies in the Ombudsman for Short-Term Insurance's annual report for last year, which was released day before yesterday, bears that out. So here's what happened. A Mr. G, they don't reveal the identities of these people in their case studies, he advertised his car on a website for sale, and he got a call from a potential buyer who they called Mr. X. The two arranged to meet, and Mr. X was supposed to pay a 5,000 rand deposit and give Mr. G proof that he'd paid this deposit.
Yeah.
So then Mr. G got an SMS confirmation from Mr. X's bank confirming that the deposit had been paid. That's a bit odd because it should have come from his own bank. But anyway, the meeting was confirmed nevertheless at a shopping mall, and the deal was that Mr. X would provide proof of the payment of the balance of the purchase price, and then Mr. G, the seller, would hand over the car and its documents. Sounds simple, and these deals happen a lot.
Okay.
But before the meeting at the shopping center, Mr. G got another SMS apparently confirming that the outstanding amount had already been paid into his account. He must have been a little suspicious at that stage because he asked for more proof, and he was sent an email with a bank transaction form attached.
Okay.
So then, at 9th of October, this went down last year, Mr. G goes to the shopping center, and he doesn't find Mr. X, the would-be buyer. He's approached by someone else who claimed to be collecting the car on behalf of Mr. X, who couldn't make it. He had some family commitment, he was told. So now Mr. X tries to call the potential buyer's, sorry, Mr. G, the seller, tries to call the buyer's bank to find out if the money had been transferred, but the bank naturally says no. We, you know, only an account holder can ask that question. Why he didn't call his own bank to find out if the money was actually in his account, I don't know. But anyway, instead of walking away from the deal, he got a copy of that third party's ID and handed the car over and the keys to him.
Okay.
So this happens, that people don't ask enough questions. The next day he discovered the proof of payment was false and the ID number didn't exist. Okay, so what he does is he makes a claim with his insurer, Santam, for the loss of his car, well, the theft of his car. Yeah. He said that he was afraid for his and his wife's safety at the time. The third party was accompanied by another male, and he said that he felt if he didn't give them the car, there would be repercussions, as he called it.
Yeah.
So the claim was rejected on the basis that this wasn't straight theft. It was theft by false pretenses, which is an exclusion in the policy, and the insurer was able to prove that their client, Mr. X, had been made aware that this was an exclusion. Mm. They said it was apparent he'd handed over the keys despite feeling suspicious and despite not having been able to find out for sure whether the payment had been made. So he lost.
But feeling suspicious doesn't hold up in a court of law. So although the car was stolen,
it was indeed,
because he was strung along by a fraudster and willingly handed over the keys, he had no claim.
He had no claim. So the car wasn't stolen from the shopping center while he was shopping. He actually handed over the keys and the car and the documents and everything.
One could argue he was complicit in the theft of it.
Well, he wasn't complicit, but that kind of scenario isn't covered by an insurance policy.
Okay.
Being defrauded, it wouldn't be
covered.
So it's no surprise that fewer and fewer South Africans are willing to risk selling their cars privately via online classifieds, thanks to the risk of theft, these sort of scenarios that Mr. G had, and even death. There have been cases when people have been killed when they go to meet someone they think is going to be a potential buyer.
Mm.
So in order to ensure that private selling via classifieds survived as an alternative to the second-hand car market, Auto Trader, the country's largest online vehicle platform, has joined forces with Bosch service stations to come up with a secure solution that they call Marketplace.
Okay.
Now, I really like this idea. The sellers are vetted before being introduced to a potential buyer. Then they meet at a Bosch outlet of their choice. There are 160-something of them around the country.
Yeah.
The seller's car is technically inspected. A deal manager helps the two parties negotiate a fair price, and the finance is arranged via Auto Trader's finance partners.
So both the buyer and the seller are protected?
Yeah, exactly, because there are big risks on both sides, whether you're buying or selling. The buyer runs the risk of landing up with a lemon or a stolen car that they would have to forfeit if recovered.
Yeah.
And this has happened in many cases.
Yes.
And the seller's risk is even bigger. As this case, you can be defrauded or even killed for your car.
Yeah.
And private sales, let's not forget, are not covered by the Consumer Protection Act, making them essentially a foot to sales, no comebacks.
Yeah. So what does this entire process cost?
Okay, so obviously these checks and balances don't come for nothing.
No.
For the seller, a once-off inspection fee of 1,250 odd to have the car listed on Auto Trader. If you're buying from Marketplace, you pay 3,900 for the facilitation and admin, all the paperwork, and another 1,650 for registration. So about 5,500 rand in total. It can be unpaid up front or included in the finance deal, and obviously you'd have to pay interest on that. But whatever you do, if you're buying or selling a car via online classifieds, learn from Mr. G. So don't go it alone. If you don't want to go through something like Marketplace, then find another way of having a third party check everything. Make sure the money's in. Don't rely on this on the so-called buyer's bank account. Make your own inquiries with your bank. It's a very, very, very high-risk option otherwise.
Well, some people would say that's a lot of money, but it's not if you consider that you are protected in how much you would lose if you lost the entire car or your life.
Exactly. It's the same reason I ask people to pay these professional inspection people when you're buying a house.
Yeah.
Got a case now where a woman bought, didn't do that, and 20,000 rand of fixing sunken paving. Yeah. Later,
and it's a once-off payment.
It's a once-off payment, and you can build it into the car deal if you want to. Yeah,
that's fabulous.
It is fabulous. It's a bit of a plug, and I don't normally do that on Consumer Watch, but I just thought it's a huge portal, and it's just such a worthy protection. I've covered so many cases where people have lost out, by going it alone online. It's really too dangerous.
They have an alternative.
An alternative, because otherwise the only other thing is to sell your car via a dealer. You get much less. They put the markup on. There is a place for that, but this is a worthy now alternative.
Nice. Okay, all the details on the website.
Of course.
ecr.co.za. Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks, Darren.